Welcome to part two of our podcast on the article by Cotter et al. Titled Metabolism of Ketone Bodies in Health and Disease. This is part of our podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology, and I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. This article published online February 8, 2013. My guests today are Associate Editor Christine DeRosier, Senior Author Peter Crawford, and leading expert Heinrich Tegtmeier. Let's get started with part two.
Well, in fact, it brings me to introduce like a second contribution that I think that the Peters group has brought to the field about adaptation of the myocardium to chronic ketosis. Well, in this study, well, Peters, you've shown that there was a decrease in the expression of the 3-oxoacyl acid transferase, the enzyme that is responsible for utilization of ketone body in the heart in sustained ketosis state. So can you tell us a little bit more about this? Because this has been very surprising, anyway, to me.
Yes, it was quite a surprise to us as well. So in the study to which you're referring, Christine, we wanted to understand and extend what was already known about ketone bodies that, you know, many pioneering investigators, where ketone bodies are known to suppress the terminal oxidation of fatty acids when acutely delivered to working myocardial preparations. But then ask, what happens when myocardium is exposed to states of ketosis chronically? And the experiment really initiated performing a functional genomic transcriptional profiling study in which we were examining the response of the myocardium to 24 hours of nutrient deprivation, and the study was performed in mice, and then also in response to a sustained ketosis over the course of 4 weeks by administration of a ketogenic diet. And while many of the responses transcriptionally of the myocardium were divergent, a very large subset were also conserved. And one of the conserved components of that response was the diminution of the abundance of the transcript encoding the enzyme succinyl-CoA 3-oxoacid-CoA transferase, or SCOT. This enzyme is required ultimately for terminal oxidation of ketone bodies. And then when we delivered dynamic substrate combinations that included labeled fatty acids in the presence or absence of unlabeled ketone bodies, we found surprising differences in the responsiveness of myocardial preparations that were derived from these different states. So for example, when we performed the competition experiment with unlabeled ketone bodies and labeled fatty acids, we observed that ketone bodies, which are normally highly competitive with fatty acids in terms of contribution to terminal oxidation, that parts extracted from fasted animals or from those that had been maintained on a ketogenic diet were actually resistant to this inhibitory effect of exogenous ketone bodies. And while this may not be entirely attributable to the downregulation of the SCOT enzyme, it suggests an overriding program that controls and regulates the use of ketone bodies in states when they're delivered in abundance.
So thank you, Peter, for explaining this. I would like to ask Henrik, were you surprised, Henrik, by those findings? And how do you interpret the response of the heart to this chronic ketosis?
Christine, since you asked me whether I was surprised or not, my answer is yes and no. The answer is yes, because one would expect that the ketone bodies have essentially uninhibited access to the mitochondria as a readily oxidizable substrate in heart and in other organs, of course. And therefore, you would expect a higher rate of utilization of ketone bodies in an animal model prone to upregulate ketone body metabolism. But I would also make another point, and this is the no part of my answer. Nature has a marvelous way to protect itself from any excesses, even an excess of fuel supply. Ketone bodies are metabolized in the mitochondrial matrix. And the mitochondrial matrix contains the enzymes of the Krebs cycle and has really received relatively little attention in the world of cardiac metabolism. The probing of metabolic fluxes in the mitochondrial matrix. So replenishing the citric acid cycle intermediates for the oxidation of acetyl-CoA derived from ketone bodies, long-chain fatty acids, the beta oxidation, is a very important for the unimpeded flux through the Krebs cycle and the production of reducing equivalents. So in an environment where a ketone body supply is increased over a long period of time, I can envision that the downregulation of key regulatory enzymes in ketone body metabolism is somewhat of a protective mechanism that nature uses to protect itself from fuel toxicity.
Yes, well, I like really your answer about the yes and no. And I think listening to your comment, it made me realize that this all emphasized the need for additional research to clarify this aspect of potential protection against fuel toxicity and more specifically the ketone bodies. And I think if my understanding is correct, Peter, this is also where you're heading for in terms of future research.
Yes, it's absolutely right. We're actually very excited about the models that we've been fortunate to develop and procure that have involved the inactivation, the targeted inactivation of the SCOT enzyme, both at the germline level and in a cell type specific manner. And the cardiomyocyte specific knockout is a model that we're particularly excited about, because it will provide us important opportunities to understand dynamic relationships within interwoven metabolic networks.
Henrik, in this context, yep. Do you have any advice for Peter, something you would recommend that he pursue?
I could not agree more with Peter's perspective. There's still big surprises in cardiac metabolism in this day and age. And I'm very happy that the spotlight is including now ketone body metabolism, after we spent so much time and effort to unravel and understand fatty acid metabolism, the regulation of glucose metabolism, and the adaptive changes in metabolism to hypertrophy and atrophy. We still have not fully understood the metabolic changes in the failing heart, whether they are adaptive or maladaptive, cause or consequence of the failing heart, because metabolism, as I see it, and many of us in the field see it, is a very promising target for treatment of the failing heart. And we all know that heart failure is a terrible problem, and that pharmacological interventions and mechanical interventions have plateaued, and there hasn't been a major breakthrough in the management of heart failure patients for the last two decades.
I would like to thank you both. It has been really an exciting discussion, and I'm really looking forward to the follow-up on your work, Peter, and we wish you good luck for the future.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.